Thanks for tuning in to this week's message. At First Baptist, we exist to love God, love people, and make disciples. We hope you find yourselves blessed, encouraged, and challenged by this week's message. For all things First Baptist, how you can get involved, or for more information, you can follow us on social media, YouTube, or visit us at fbcrockhill.org.
Well, hello, everybody. Today's New Testament reading plan calls for us to read and journal what God says to us in 1 Thessalonians 3. And I hope you've also invited somebody to worship Jesus with you this Sunday, whether it's in person or online.
Well, happy Thursday, everybody. I'm so thankful you've joined me for today's devotion, whether you're listening to the podcast or watching the video on YouTube or a different platform.
By the way, didn't Jesus say people will know you are my disciples, my followers, by what? But what, church? Your love for one another. Any thought to the kind of witness you are being to the people sitting around you?
About, you know, getting shucky in Kentucky, my shucky beans. If you've ever eaten shucky beans, you know what they are. Why don't you put a message, message us and let us know, make a comment. I'd love to know how
to hearing what God wants to teach you.
And the truth is, when we get to heaven, yes, we're going to praise and shout and sing and bless the Lord. But I guarantee you there will be moments in heaven when you fall flat on your face on holy ground and you shut up.
In March of 2020, the pandemic, the COVID pandemic, and everything shut down. We decided to do these devotions as a way of keeping the church connected during those difficult days. And continuing to help people grow in their walk with Jesus as disciples. And I share that with you because when we started doing this back in March of 2020 and put these on YouTube and our website and so on, at that time, we had 45 subscribers. 45 subscribers to our YouTube channel. It is amazing what God has done these last 5 years, and I praise him for it, and I'm so thankful that I've had the privilege of being part of it, and I thank you for your desire to grow in Jesus, your love for him and for the word, and I pray that God continues to use these to be a blessing in your life. So.
We wanted to take a moment today just to give God glory for what he's done. March 23 today is exactly 5 years since we aired the first of these video devotions that are part of our Bible reading plan. And at that time, we had no idea what God was going to do. I was in a sling, as you saw, because I just had rotator cuff surgery and planned it so I could watch the NCAA tournament. And then the pandemic messed. God's got a sense of humor, you know, or the devil. I don't know. But anyway, messed all that up. And I believe it was providential. We had started the Bible reading plan in January of that year and the D groups in 19 and rolled them out in 20 because God did a wonderful work in our church through those months. And I get to thinking about it, 5 years of these devotions, that is 1,300 devotions that we have recorded and put on air for people. What God's doing in our lives to see people growing, to see couples having Bible-based conversations together, see people say, you know, I've never been able to read the Bible and understand it the way I do now. It's just been amazing, and I want to thank the Lord for that. And Matt was checking for me last night. Since that screen was put together earlier this week, we've gained more followers. We're at 28,814 followers, and in the last 28 days or 4 weeks, we've had 87,900 views on our YouTube channel. And sometime after doing the video devotions, we started taking the audio of that and making it a podcast that people can listen to on the way to work. And we've had over 54,000 downloads of the devotions through the podcast in addition to the videos that people are watching. Recently, I got an email and a phone call from a dad whose son is a student at the University of South Carolina and wanted to thank me because his son and a friend have started a Bible study on the campus there using these video devotions. 2 years ago, I ended up exchanging emails and actually had a lengthy conversation with a woman up in New England who was struggling because she had been sexually abused, and she had come across the devotions where I talked about that. And so I was able to just talk to her and give her some guidance. There's a man out in California near Los Angeles reached out to me because he was struggling with a particular sin and did a search on YouTube about that sin and came across some devotions that we had on it. And so we started communicating with each other. And today he's out of that sin and he's active in a church out there. And we praise God for that. And I could go on. I get communication usually by email or they'll find me on Instagram and DM me pretty consistently from people around the country and even other nations where God is just doing things. Then they find these studies, and I think they like the brevity of them and the clarity of them, and God is using it. And none of us anticipated that when we started this. And so I just want to take a moment and give him the glory for doing more than we ever dreamed he would do. He really, that's our God. And I also want to say a word of thank you to you, to the church family. Because during the pandemic, a lot of people panicked and wanted to retreat and not take steps of faith. And this church didn't do that. You voted and approved us spending a sizable sum of money during the pandemic with all the uncertainty to do a lot of technological upgrades here. The sound system, the recording equipment, the television equipment, the live streaming. We have hundreds of people who watch our live stream around the country every week because of the quality of the production, and that's only possible because of that equipment. But part of that was also building the recording studio that we use to record these videos and create the podcast. And so God has, here's the point. God has multiplied that step of faith that you took in ways that none of us dream possible. And that's what he always does when we step out in faith. So I just want to say as pastor, thank you, because most churches would not have taken that kind of step of faith during those hard, difficult times, uncertain times. But you did. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. God is honoring that faith. So thank you, and all the glory goes to him. Now, as you know, in our Bible reading plan, we have a memory verse each month. And the purpose of those memory verses is to help us have gospel conversations with people. These are verses you can use in explaining how to have a relationship with Jesus, why someone needs a relationship with Jesus. And our memory verse for the month of March is an easy one to remember, is Romans 3:23. Many of you knew this before. It was this month's memory verse. So I want us to recite it. Would you stand with me for just a moment? Thank you so much. And let's say this together now. It's in the New American Standard Translation, since that's what I preach from. So if you do a different translation, that's great. That's okay. That's good. But today we're going to quote it in NASB. So are you ready? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. One more time. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to teach on that verse today. And you think, well, it's just a short verse. It's pretty self-explanatory. But I think there's more to it than what we sometimes see on the surface. I want us to come to a better understanding of what sin really is. Because most people will acknowledge they are a sinner. I heard about a young teenage girl who had a dream about heaven, and her pastor was in the dream. And so she was telling pastor, hey, pastor, I had a dream about heaven, and you were in it. He said, really? What was it? Tell me about the dream. And she said, well, I was in heaven, and there's this really massive, I mean massive, huge chalkboard. You have to climb way up a ladder to reach the top of it. It's so big, and God told me to write every sin I've ever committed on that chalkboard, to start at the top. And so I was going up that ladder to write my sins on the board, and I met you coming down, and I said, hey, pastor, what are you doing here? And you said, I'm going down for more chalk. See, the truth is, all of us have sinned, and we've sinned a lot. And most people in this culture will acknowledge, yeah, I've done wrong. I'm a sinner. But they don't understand the depth of sin. what sin really is. Because we tend to think of sin as these big moral mistakes we make, or the really evil things that people do. But sin is deeper than that. And the average person doesn't understand the quantity of their sin, how sinful they really are. That verse is, all have sinned and fall short, or the King James says, come short of the glory of God. Now think about that phrase, the come short, fall short of the glory of God. In the Bible, the glory of God is synonymous with the person of God, synonymous with His presence, His holiness, His power, His character. The glory of God is synonymous with all that God is. Imagine when you're in heaven and you see God for the first time. That's the glory of God, the otherness of God. And He says, we all sin and we fall short of that. I've sometimes said, if Jesus were sitting in that chair, could you look at Jesus and say, I'm as good as you are, Jesus? No. Why? We're not even close. We fall short of the glory of God. And the biblical teaching is that sin is anything and everything we do that is in contradiction to that glory that is God. It's what we do against the glory of God, the holiness and purity and majesty of holy God. In Romans 3:23, the word sinned, all have sinned, comes from the Greek word harmatano or harmatia. And you've heard it described as missing the mark, missing the target. In the Old Testament Hebrew, there's an equivalent word, hata, and it means to miss the mark. Think of young David, okay? He's young, maybe a teenager, and he's got that slingshot, and he's facing Goliath, and he winds up, and he throws, and that stone goes, and he misses Goliath. That's hata, that's harmatia, missing the mark, missing the target. You ever shot a bow and arrow? You ever thrown darts? I like to throw axe. Axe throwing's a lot of fun. Oh, country boy, what do you think? Yeah, I'm going to throw axe. And there's always a target. Sin is missing the target. It's missing the target of the glory of God, the character of God. Everything outside the essence of what God is and therefore what God says is sin. Harmatia, harmatona. Out of God's character flows all of God's truth. Out of God's character flows all of what God says about what is right and wrong, just and unjust, good and bad, pure and evil. What is sin? And missing that mark, coming short of it, that is at the essence of what sin is. There's another verse that helps us understand it in the Old Testament. The book of Proverbs chapter 19 verse 2 says, also it is not good for a person to be without knowledge, and he who hurries his footsteps errs. The Hebrew word translated errs there, I think in the King James or New King James says sins, and the NIV says misses the way. It's this hata, this harmatia, this missing the mark. What he says is, when you live and think and make decisions without the knowledge of God, without the truth of God, without the word of God, your life gets off track. You miss the mark. Your life takes a wrong turn. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, we all have, haven't we? Sin is ignoring what God says. Remember, what God says comes out of His glory, out of His character. Sin is ignoring what God says and going a different direction, thinking different thoughts. Think about humanity's very first sin back in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis, God tells Adam and Eve, this whole garden is for your pleasure, enjoyment. Partake of it. But just this one tree, Don't eat the fruit of that one tree. Now, it wasn't an apple. We don't know what the fruit was. It's just a tree with fruit. You can enjoy all this stuff. There's just one thing off limit. And the serpent, the devil, comes to them and says to Eve, and I'm going to give you the Steve Hogg paraphrase. Did God really say that? Are you sure you're understanding God right? God really say that? You know what? God's not telling you the whole story. Because there's some stuff God knows that you don't know, and God doesn't want you to know it, so He's not telling you the whole story. Because God knows that when you eat that fruit, you'll be more like Him than you are right now, because you will know some things that He knows, but you don't know right now. You know the good and the evil. And that's how He's always worked. To sow doubt about the character of God, sow doubt about the truth of God, sow doubt about the Word of God, and they succumbed to that and got off path. Harmatia, Hata, they erred, they sinned. That's at the essence of sin. Begin questioning, doubting, arguing with, ignoring the Word of God, the truth of God. And so we go on a different path than the one God has established. Now, the Greek word harmatia or harmatano and the Hebrew word hata, those are just two words in the Bible for sin. There are literally dozens of different words for sin. And what's going on is each of them gives you a different shade of meaning, a different insight into, a different understanding of what sin is. There's no one word that really captures all of what sin is. So there's all these different words that have shades of meaning to help us understand it. And don't worry, we're not going to look at the dozens of words, but we are going to look at a few, if that's okay. And let's do a little Bible study, okay? Instead of preaching for a few moments, let me just do a little Bible teaching. Pretend you're in Bible college or something. And let's look at some of these Hebrew Old Testament and Greek New Testament words for sin so we can better understand the depth of what sin really is. Because I think even in the church sometimes, we don't grasp the fullness of what sin actually is and does. I want to start in Exodus 34, and these, you can look them up, but the verses will be on the screen. I do encourage you to write them down so you can study this on your own. I want to go back to Exodus 34 when Moses is on Mount Sinai. God's giving him the Ten Commandments. And at one moment, God passes in front of Moses, and Moses bows down on the ground. And as Moses is bowed on the ground, God speaks to him. And part of what God says is this. This is God talking to Moses. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, love and truth. See, without truth, you're really not loving. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And a lot of people want to stop there. But God also said, yet He will by no means, referring to Himself, leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity, which is sin, iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. Have you ever noticed how sinful lifestyles and patterns have a negative impact on children and grandchildren? God is just, and He deals with sin. He doesn't ignore it. But He's also very gracious and compassionate and wants to forgive sin. And we'll get to that in a few moments. But I want you to notice those words for sin in that verse. Iniquity, transgression, sin. I want to look at iniquity and transgression for just a moment. The Hebrew word translated iniquity is awan. It means something that is twisted or crooked, bent out of shape. What it's talking about is behavior that takes the Word of God, the truth of God, the character of God, the holiness of God. It is behavior that takes this truth of God and just twists it and makes it crooked. What God intended to be straight, which is a symbolism of purity and holiness, sin twists and makes crooked. Think of some of the mainline denominations in America today that have taken the Word of God and twisted it so that it looks like a pretzel in order to justify what the Bible says is sinful. But we do that in our own life sometimes, don't we? And make the straight path God has established, we make it crooked. That's a picture of what sin is. The word transgression. Trying to remember how to say it. It's not Pesha. It's P-E-S-H-A. But anyway, P-E-S-H-A, but you don't say it Pesha. It's something else. But anyway, doesn't matter. Hebrew was not my strong suit. It's too much like Chinese. The word means to rebel against, to revolt. Sin is revolting against God. Remember, what God says flows out of who He is. That's His glory. Sin is rebelling against. You ever had teenagers or young adults who were in a bad spot and rebelled against what they knew was right? Maybe that was you at one point in your life. Sin is rebelling, revolting against God, against the truth of God, the will of God. And therefore, what does it do? It violates the relationship with God. This word's also used when you mistreat someone else, violating that person and the relationship you have with that person. That's what transgression is. Pesha, finally got it. Pesha. Another verse I want us to look at, Hebrews in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 2. He said, "For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty." Now in Hebrews 1 and 2, the Bible is talking about the revelation of God. In these last days, God has revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the full revelation. It's through Jesus. But before that, God revealed Himself through prophets and so on. And this verse is talking about the angels, because when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God, you know, wrote the Ten Commandments with His finger and so on. But Moses was up there 40 days, and God gave him not only the Ten Commandments, but when you read it in the Old Testament, God gave him a lot of the laws that are contained in the book of Leviticus for the Hebrew people, for the Jewish nation. And much of that was given to Moses by angels. And so the word God gave the Hebrew people for that nation was unaudible. He said, but notice this. In this verse, he says, every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. In the law that God, through the angels, gave to Moses, there was punishment for the Hebrew people for their disobedience, for their transgression. The word transgression there in the New Testament is a different one than the pesha that we read in the Old Testament. This word transgression comes from the Greek word parabasis, and it means there's a boundary, there's a line that God has drawn, and you cross over it. You transgress the line, you transgress the boundary. I don't know if kids still do this or not, but when I was growing up in the country as a little boy, sometimes you get into a scuffle with your friends, and you draw a line and say, "I dare you, cross over." Some of y'all are laughing because you did it too, right? God's drawn lines, boundaries. Not because He's trying to punish you or doesn't want you to have any fun, but to protect you. You parents ever set boundaries for your children? Why? Because you love them. And when you love them, you set boundaries because you know on the other side of those lines, there's pain. There's danger. That's what loving parents do. In this culture, parents who refuse to set boundaries for their kids, they're not loving their kids. They're neglecting their kids. You have the responsibility not to be your child's best friend, but to be his mom or dad. Yes, you want them to like you, but your mom, your dad, act like it. Set boundaries. God lovingly, out of His holiness, out of His awareness and full knowledge, sets boundaries to lovingly protect us. Sin is saying, "God, I don't care. I'm stepping over the line." That's what sin is. "I know more than you do, God. I'm going to cross the line. The word disobedience is the Greek word parakoe. And it means to listen or hear amiss. It's the idea of failing to listen, to not listen, to not hear what God is saying, and thus to disobey Him. Whether it's a parent to a child or a supervisor to an employee, you ever said, "Didn't you hear what I said?" Huh? I can just imagine how many times God wants to scream, "Did you not hear what I said?" That's what sin is. No, I don't want to hear God. That's one of the reasons some people never read the Bible consistently. Because when you engage with the Word of God and meet Jesus, you're transformed, become more like Him, and you're growing. And some people, they get into... I've seen this with people over the years. I've seen people this occasion with somebody in a D group. They get into the Word, and God starts speaking, and they're growing, and all of a sudden they start hearing God. The Word is speaking to them, and they're but growth means things change. I don't want to change. So I don't want to hear God anymore. So what I'll do, I drop out of the D group. I quit going to life group. I stop reading the Bible consistently. Because God, I don't want to hear you. Because when I hear you, God, it confronts me. Sin is, God, I don't want to hear you. I'll do whatever I want to do. That's disobedience. Got to move on real fast. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. The word lawlessness there is anomia. It means to be without the law. So, breaking the law, transgressing the law. The law is referring not just to the Old Testament law, but this, it's just the revelation of God, the truth of God about what's right and what's wrong and everything else. And lawlessness is, well, think about it in America. Lawlessness is you're breaking the state or country's laws, right? What is sin? Breaking God's laws, ignoring God's laws, shaking your fist in the face of God's established truth and God's established laws. That's what sin is. Anomia. Another verse real quickly. Romans 13:13. Next slide, please. He says, let us behave properly as in the day. In other words, it's this idea your mama's saying to you, you know, nothing good happens after midnight, so be home. In the, you know, so it's talking about living right. He's saying, so behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, and we know what most of those are. But that word sensuality, another word for sin. It's aselgia. And it means to lack, to not have self-control or discipline. It's behavior that is excessive, that is even reckless at times. And it can refer to a lot of different things, but primarily in Scripture in the New Testament, aselgia is used for excess in the area of sexual issues. So sensual. Think about our culture. It's obsession with sex, with nudity, lack of modesty. It's horrible and heartbreaking, all the videos making the rounds in the last year of women, young women who don't realize the damage they're doing to themselves, who are sleeping with large quantities of men. And they're all laughing about it. Sensuality. Excess. Lack of boundaries. Lack of self-control and self-discipline. Another verse, last one about names for sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips. We could talk for an hour about that verse. But the word wickedness is another word for sin. It's the word ponoreia. Ponoreia. And it means anything that is contrary to the holiness of God. So kind of taking us back to where we started, the glory of God. So anything that is contrary to that glory of God, anything that is contrary to the holiness of God, the Bible says, is sin. Wow. Now, there are a lot of words, dozens. We just looked at a few. But does that give you maybe a little bit deeper perspective on the breadth of what sin really is? It's staggering when you think about it. It's not just a moral failure. At its essence, it's your attitude toward God. And the Word of God, because I've said many times from this pulpit, you cannot separate the person of Jesus from the truth of Jesus. A lot of people in our culture want Jesus, they just don't want everything Jesus says. That doesn't work. Because the Word and the person are synonymous. The Word grows out of who the person is, the character of the person, out of the glory of Christ, out of the glory of God. And anything that contradicts the character of God, anything that contradicts the truth of God, that contradicts the Word of God, is wickedness, is sin. And let's just be honest, that's all of us. That's the reason Romans 3:20 says, for all have sinned. And sin is not just what you do. Let me show you a couple more understandings of sin, not words for it, but just insights. Look at James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is what? Sin. See, we sometimes think sin is just what you do, but here the Bible says sin is when you know to do the right thing and you don't do it. That's sin. Sins of omission, not just commission. But Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, also said this about sin. He said, you have heard that it was said you should not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What's Jesus saying? You don't have to always do something or fail to do something to sin. You can also sin in here and in here with your thoughts and your imaginations. Anybody in this room ever been guilty of that? Yeah. See, sin is a bigger deal than we think. I often ask people, how many times do you think you sin in a lifetime? Let's just do a little exercise, okay? Let's say you have a good day. How many times do you sin in a good day? I mean, how many times in a good day do you do something you shouldn't have done, fail to do something you should have done, have a bad thought? Would you say if that only happened 3 times in a day, that'd be a pretty good day? Okay. That's a good day. Let's do a little math. I like math. 365 days a year. 3 sins a day. That's over 1,000 sins a year. Now let's say you live to be 70, 80 years old. That's 70, 80, 90, 100,000 sins. And that's if you never have a bad day. The truth is we have more sin in our life than we could possibly write on any chalkboard. We're all guilty of it. And that's why anybody who thinks they're going to go to heaven because they're good is mistaken. You go into a courtroom before a judge with 100,000 crimes that you're actually guilty of, they're going to put you under the prison. You stand before God in all of His holiness and all of His glory on the judgment day with all your sin. You think He's letting you in? why we need Jesus. That's why we need Jesus. Our memory verse is Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the very next verse, verse 24, says being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Redemption means to purchase or buy freedom. It's like you pay a ransom to rescue someone who's been kidnapped. On the cross, Jesus paid a ransom to redeem you, to free you from the guilt of your sin. The Bible teaches that on the cross, Jesus became sin for you. All your sins were placed on him. He bore the guilt. He suffered the punishment. So you would not have to. To be justified means to stand before God in his courtroom and be declared innocent. To be right with God, it's a legal term. Because when Jesus takes your sin and then you throw yourself on the mercy of the court, you throw yourself on the mercy of the cross, you throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus' blood, he gives you his righteousness, as he says here, as a gift of grace, a gift of love. Heaven is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. Eternal life is a gift that you simply receive as you cast yourself at the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, I have no hope. You alone are my hope, and I plead for your mercy. Forgive me, cleanse me, save me, and I give my life to you, and I spend the rest of my life living for Jesus, not so I can go to heaven, but because I'm so thankful he has made me righteous and forgiven me. You ever thrown yourself on the mercy of Jesus? You ever pleaded for the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and wash away your sin? Are you living for Jesus out of gratitude? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The only way you will ever stand in the presence of holy God for eternity in heaven is through the blood of Jesus.